Alrighty, welcome back to the Dunes and Tunes podcast. I'm your host, Matt King. Excited today, another great musician on the podcast. This one, you might know a little bit more than some of the local peeps I've had on, but nonetheless, another desert resident and another badass musician. Today I have Mr. Dale Crover on the podcast. How you doing, Dale?
Good, good. Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're here on location in lovely Palm Desert, California.
At the Civic Park in Palm Desert, California. We're gonna go play pickleball after this, right? Do you play pickleball?
I've never played, have you?
Really? Yeah, I've played pickleball before. It's kind of fun.
Did you play pickleball before you came here?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually I did. So I haven't played in a long time.
Yeah.
But also, you know, this is a big golf community and I'm kind of a hack golfer. So you know, it's a good place to be if you like golf, since there's well over 100 golf courses in this area.
Yeah.
Which I've played maybe a tiny fraction of. Yeah. I don't know. I don't play that often, but I'm usually busy doing other things, but I am going to go golf tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. It's very much if you are retired or older and enjoy these kind of leisurely activities, this is the spot for you.
Right.
You
know? Right. Well, we live in kind of a big retirement community. Yeah. So, you know, and that's kind of the thing to do out here, either golf, tennis, or pickleball. And I don't know. I've met some pretty interesting people on the golf course. I've met a lot of musicians.
Oh, yeah.
I've met musicians where it's funny, like I've met them golfing rather than like at a show or something like that. Like I'm pretty good friends with Greg Dooley, who plays in solo artist and also plays in a few different bands. Actually met him through golf, you know. Or there's some other guys. Like I know this guy who's a manager who manages Vampire Weekend.
Okay.
And pretty big band, but yeah. I met him through golf, and then I've actually golfed with the guy who's like the head guy for Coachella.
Oh wow, that's some good connections right there on the golf.
So yeah, get some pretty funny music connections.
I always I feel like I hear those stories a lot of like, oh yeah, I met this guy or this big guy doing golf, like. Does that go into your psyche? You're like, depending on the relationship I want to have with this guy, how well am I going to be golfing this
No, it's kind of funny because none of us are any good, you know, and definitely, I think, you know, I mean, I kind of got into it when I turned 40, you know, and just kind of decided I wanted to try it. And Buzz had been golfing and he's actually really good.
Oh, wow.
He'll play in tournaments and do pretty good.
Does he like do the polo and everything? Does he dress?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, because when you see him, it's just like, yeah, you wouldn't think, but I mean, it's funny, like golfing with him, like he's met some pretty interesting people too. Like, especially like when, we were in LA, we would golf at this place and it was just like, you know, it wasn't like a country club. It was like, like total, community golf course, super cheap. But then you'll see people there like Larry David, you know, like practicing golf one time I was golfing with him and we heard this guy go, "Hey Buzz, hey, wait up. I want to golf with you." And it turned out to be the guy that played in this band, Sha Na Na.
Okay.
You know who they are?
Yeah.
They actually played Woodstock, which is funny.
That's crazy.
But they were like this 50s revival band. And the guy was super funny, you know, or he used to golf with the football player, Jim Brown, which was pretty funny. I mean, it's just weird. You know, you meet weird people and I don't know. And anyway, I guess that's enough about golf. So,
I mean, it speaks to the point we were just talking about too, of like the kind of this alluring sense that the desert has. I feel like you can run into people that have like, oh, I've accomplished all these big things. I'm this hotshot or whatever. And here I am chilling in Keith, California.
Right.
It's such a weird thing.
And it can be kind of normal, you know, I mean, you know, Alice Cooper, he's also like a really big golfer.
Another desert guy.
I haven't met him, but I'm friends with the drummer from Cheap Trick.
Uh-huh.
Who he's the drummer they have now is Rick Nielsen's son, who's the guitar player from Cheap Trick. And he recently moved out to Phoenix, which is another desert area.
Another desert.
Where golf is big. And he's been golfing with Alice Cooper, which is pretty funny. Anyway, it's kind of a strange thing.
Yeah. I mean, was there things in particular that like pulled you out here or made you want to move out here?
Partner's parents lived out here.
Okay.
And just kind of the pandemic happened, and there was a chance for us to sell our place,
yeah,
and move out here, and I don't know. It was like real estate was weird at the time, mm-hmm. where you know we could sell our place, make a bunch of money, and just kind of get out of Los Angeles. We looked at it as our opportunity to kind of get out of there.
Yeah,
you know, things were, and just get a bigger place too. Like we had a family, and we're in a pretty small house. Mm. And she wanted to be closer to her parents.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, there's, it's cool that, it was able to support, you know, the kind of lifestyle you wanted to move to as well.
I've been coming out here for like the last, like, you know, since like the early 2000s, mm-hmm. you know, like spending every holiday out here. So I kind of knew what I was getting into.
Yeah.
You know, it's like right now it's great.
Yeah.
Like the weather's awesome.
Oh, but yeah.
As you know, are you from here?
Yeah,
did you grow up here?
Yeah, born and raised. Yeah.
So okay.
Time is ticking on this weather.
Not too long. Yeah, it's going to be brutally hot.
By Coachella, it'll probably be.
That's kind of when, 90s. Like, so you know, as you know, this is also a big, a lot of snowbirds around here.
Yep.
People come here for the wintertime, like a lot of Canadians, and by Coachella they all leave.
Yeah.
Like get out of town because all the freaks
start melting.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and for me, it's good too because I'm getting out of here too.
Okay,
we're about to go on a big tour.
Yeah,
in Melvins, and we got a big 2-month tour planned. Us playing with Napalm Death.
Yeah, that's awesome. I got to talk with Buzz the other day because I write for a paper in Reno as well.
Oh,
so
cool.
I did like a preview story on the Reno date, and he was telling me all these crazy Reno stories. He was telling me about this time where this guy just got fully nude in the crowd.
Oh yeah. Opening for Tool. Right.
I was like, Melvin's in Tool. That sounds like the dude place. And then this dude is taking off his clothes in front of a bunch of other dudes.
Right. Well, I mean, it was like, it was cool because you could tell like not a lot of bands go to Reno, at least back then for sure. And I remember we went on stage. Did he tell you this? We went on stage eating plates of food.
No.
Yeah. It was like, I mean, we always played pretty early, and like catering was so close to like the dinner break was so close to our set. We just went on stage like eating plates of food. You know, it's like we're just like messing around or whatever.
Yeah.
We put our plates down and start playing the show, and yeah, we see some guy in the audience who's like completely nude, like crowd surfing or whatever, and people are like definitely staying away from him.
Yeah.
And then when we're done, we go outside to the back where the buses are, and like there's the guy. The cops have him, and he's like, "Can I have a blanket?"
Yeah, Buzz was like, "Fuck no, you don't get a blanket.
Yeah.
You want to pull that shit? You're going to stay naked all night."
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It was funny.
Yeah, that's a great pairing, Melvin's and Napalm Death. And I know you guys have played together
before.
I think it's cool you're doing a physical only release, which is awesome.
For now,
of course. In the moment, it's physical.
Right.
So that's cool. And of course, you know, talking about the desert too, all these musicians out here. I mean, I've seen you at a few local shows, but do you think it's weird that there's not this like bigger kind of music economy or scene here? Or
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's Pappy and Harriet's where it's like that's super, super popular. We just played there just recently and people love going up there. I mean, that's really in the middle of nowhere, even more the middle of nowhere than like where we are now, you know? I mean, I'm surprised there's not something in Palm Springs, and you know, the alibi, which didn't last, mm-hmm. which is unfortunate. And then, you know, there's not much right here. You know, there's the Hood, which is kind of like the local dive bar or whatever. Yeah. And we could easily play there and I'm surprised we haven't, but, you know, what else is there? There's like Little Street Music Hall.
Yeah,
right?
That place is on the up. You know, that's one of the newer kind of waves of this
music. I'd like to see something happen there.
Yeah, it's just so weird that the amount of quote unquote star power, you know, musicians that are here versus the amount of like support venue wise for them to play. Like population and arts creation alone, it could be another Pomona or LA or big music hub
and especially with Coachella here too. I'm surprised that there's not something kind of more happening. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there will be
Hopefully soon.
know Fever Dog's playing there soon.
Yeah, shout out to Fever Dog. Yeah, you were at our show at the Alibi. I remember Fever Dog and my band open up that
right.
show. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, what a great band. And they're going on tour, and that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I like those guys. So I'll probably go to that show.
Sweet. Yeah, so
it's coming up soon, isn't it?
Yeah, March 28th, I think.
Great.
Yeah, and then they are off to Oregon, I think, in 2 days. They're crazy. But yeah, shout out to them. Have you been to other local shows or besides? I mean, I remember seeing you at the blues event, but you know.
Which one?
The blues event. Blues kind of event. Yeah, where you hopped up and started jamming.
Right,
that was
I'm
really
friends
cool.
with the guy that plays guitar in that band.
So. Oh, cool. Yeah.
He invited me.
Sweet.
So. You know, and I've seen Fatso Jetson play a few times.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. You know, there's no, other than that, there's like casinos, you know? And I went and saw Blister Cult.
Oh, hell
not
yeah.
That long ago.
Yeah.
And I was trying to go to see the Billy Gibbons show, but then I waited too long and it sold out.
Mm. Yeah, my brother went to that. He said it was pretty dope.
Yeah.
That's cool. He's like, you know, this isn't ZZ Top. It's the Billy Gibbons band. I was like, he just played all ZZ Top.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what he's famous for.
Yeah.
And I've heard that he's out here sometimes too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know he goes to he's done some stuff at Pappy's a lot.
Right.
And
somebody said that he has a place here, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah. So,
but I know he does stuff with, we were mentioning Matt Sorum from Guns N' Roses lives out here.
I went to Matt's studio.
Oh, cool.
And there's just like all these pictures of him and Billy and like some signed stuff from Billy. And I was like, yeah, probably got some desert ties in him.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you being on the podcast. You know, I think your music has meant a lot to a lot of people, and not a lot of people know you're one of them out here in the desert, you know?
Yeah. I know. You know, other than like us playing at Pappy's, we don't really, you know, play too many shows out here, but I would.
Yeah, Melvin's at the Hood would be a crazy proposition.
I mean, we do play places like that. I mean, depending on where in the country we are, mm-hmm. you know, after we do, this tour is pretty big, and it's kind of, I guess, more like places like House of Blues style places, like bigger venues, but in the fall, we're doing a tour of the U.S. where it's like all kind of like C and D markets.
Okay.
And we play places that size.
Cool.
You know, and we still do just because, you know, that's if you get in the middle of nowhere, that's all there is.
Yeah.
You know, that's the venue in like Bisbee, Arizona or wherever we're going, you know.
Anything with a stage or with a PA.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, it's funny, like I was talking to Buzz and we were trying to like we're playing some pretty interesting places. Like we're going to play Roswell, New Mexico. Mm. And we were trying to get a show in between like, I think it was maybe Dallas and New Mexico. And like, there wasn't like, we tried to get a show in Lubbock, Texas. And there just wasn't anything.
Yeah.
And we tried to get something in Amarillo and there was like just cowboy bars and they wouldn't book it. So
hardcore for us.
Well, just I don't know. They just probably are just unaware. Like we played there a long time ago, but I mean, you know, it would probably do fine. They're just like, it's not their thing.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, I mean, yeah, we play places like that. We'd play Little Street would be easy enough.
That would be a really good show too. Yeah.
Pappy's is kind of close enough to the area mm-hmm. to where it's like, that's kind of the local show.
Yeah, and Pappy's has the facilities to support, you know, bigger concerts like that, you know, these
sort of, but we played inside, you know, and still, that's small.
Oh, yeah, still. But they've been doing this for so long, you know,
right.
A lot of these other venues are kind of trying to get their feet wet and figure out how to.
They have a reputation, people like to go there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's kind of a weird destination for people to go to. Plus, it's near Joshua Tree. So.
Yeah, and I feel like every time you guys play there, it sells out. So, it's pretty badass.
Yeah.
And it's cool you guys are still wanting to. I feel like, you know, bands can be like, oh, we're past the small club stage, you know, kind of deal. We don't want to go back to the old days of playing in tight-knit spaces.
It's funny because people, like we were talking about this as a band, we're talking about this, like people sometimes are like, they were asking, Buzz was saying that somebody was asking the guy that runs their record label, like, how come those guys play these places like that? It's like, well, why do you think this is what we do for a living? This is, you know, like because we make money, you know, I mean,
you put food on the table, you need to pay bills.
Right. It's like, do you think that, you know, our egos are too big that we can't play places like that and make money?
Yeah.
You know, or you know, what do you think?
Yeah.
It's funny.
It's just, it's not like a, I don't think it's the ego death that a lot of bands or bigger artists think that it is, you know, kind of.
Right.
It doesn't even have to be seen as going backwards.
We've always kept our heads about that stuff. Yeah. You know, like when we, even when we signed to a major label, we're like, if this doesn't work out, we're making a living off of this without having that. So we'll just go back to what we were doing before. And we did.
Yeah.
You know, the band is more successful now than ever.
That's great.
You know, I mean, we like this tour is, all the shows we just played were, like almost all of them were sold out.
Oh, wow.
They weren't huge places, but they were sold out.
Yeah. You know? Better to have a sold out show than an empty show.
Exactly. Exactly. It did well. And then the Napalm tour is doing really well. Mm-hmm. And it's a really hard time for bands right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nobody's doing good except the Melvins.
You guys cracked the code.
I don't know. I mean, I just think we just kind of kept doing it and didn't stop. And
I think having that knowledge too of what you know, what venues, what markets you're able to hit and do right. successful at, rather than right. bands that like, oh, we're jumping from mid-sized stadiums to, you know, baseball fields on this tour.
Right.
Why didn't it sell out? You know, like,
right.
well, why do you think? Well, what have you done to propel your asking?
Right.
Just because inflation, just because the gigging economy is shit and you need more money?
Like, exactly. And there's bands this last year that tried to do that, tried to book too big of places, and then they end up canceling their tours.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It happened to the Black Keys.
Yeah.
It happened to, like, you know, even bigger acts where they're just like, no, you got to think smaller, you know, and, but for whatever reason, we're doing good. I mean, I think we're a good band. So, you know, I mean, we work hard at being a good band, and we rehearse a lot and work really hard at this. And yeah, the tour that we just did was like, there's like kids that weren't there the last time.
Yeah.
You know, like you could tell they're young kids.
Kids that weren't even born when Melvin
right.
started.
Right.
I wasn't born when Melvin started.
Right. I mean, there were like teenagers at our shows.
Yeah.
And that is great.
You know, and I think it's helpful too that you guys are always pushing, you know, forward new releases and staying consistent.
Yeah, exactly.
Releasing stuff almost every year.
Exactly.
Like,
we've done all that work, and you know it's paying off. So
yeah.
It's good.
Do you guys actually play new stuff that often that you guys are releasing, or
usually we wait till it's out?
Yeah.
You know, we had a record come out last April, I think, something like that, and we didn't really do a tour for it. Because Red Cross was doing stuff. And so, yeah, I play in multiple bands.
You're busy as hell.
Yeah, I also play. Red Cross just did a bunch of touring last year, and we just, the other night, played on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. So, and that's been really good for them. Red Cross is the bass player for the Melvins. It's his band. Him and his brother have been in the band since they were like, he was in the band when he was 11.
Yeah.
They're actually have been around longer than the Melvins. They've been around like 45 years.
I know. It's like, oh, we've been a band for 45 years and we're only 40 or something like that.
Yeah.
Early 50s or something. I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
it's
shit.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So good things are happening for those guys too.
Yeah.
So,
and then
yeah.
Also,
and when we tour, we're going to Europe in the summer.
Sweet.
And Red Cross is opening, and then they're going to open the tour in the fall too. So, yeah, I'm keeping busy. And yeah, we just did with those guys just last year, we did a big tour of the US and Canada and, or sorry, not Canada, Europe. We did Canada. We did one show.
but worldwide tour.
But I put out a solo record last year, and I was hoping that my solo band could open, but it wasn't financially feasible to do.
Mm-hmm.
So Steven, the bass player, is like, well, He didn't ask me. He just told me, like, well, you're going to DJ and open. I'm like, oh, okay. That sounds cool. I mean, I've DJed in the past and that would be easy enough. And I think he was thinking like, oh, you know, you don't have to have any gear. You just play music or whatever.
Put up your Spotify playlist.
I mean, it wasn't, I mean, you know, I was like, well, I can't really bring records in a turntable and all that stuff. So what do I do? And I ended up getting this app called DJ Pro, which is, it's cool. It looks just like a little DJ setup.
Oh, sweet.
And you can queue up things and do all goofy DJ stuff. Like, you know, use the horn and do all kinds of weird effects. And that was really fun. And then, you know, it's funny because I was thinking like, you know, that's cool, but I really wish I was playing somehow to like support this record I put out.
Yeah.
And then funny because he's like, well, I was thinking like, would you want to also do like also play? Like maybe you could like do a one man band thing and play it to some tracks or something. And I'm like, what if, and I'd been thinking that I wanted to try to play acoustic mm-hmm. you know? And I brought that up and he's like, sure. And so I ended up doing like half DJ set and then half acoustic, me just playing acoustic guitar and doing my songs.
That's sick.
And so, and that was, you know, that was a lot of fun. It was something that I'd never done before.
Yeah.
And just wanted to try and I ended up really liking it and I want to do more. I'm actually recording the set that I played live.
Oh, cool.
And going to release it, like a studio version of it.
So it's just like the songs you made, but kind of more stripped down versions?
Yeah.
Or, oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's rad.
Yeah.
And then did you hop on drums after those two sets as well?
Yep.
On stage the whole night?
Yeah, pretty much. So it was great. Yeah.
It's great. I have no time to talk to anyone.
Pretty much.
This whole night. I'm busy.
Quickly grab dinner and then go play.
Yeah, that's great.
So it was fun. But anyway, like, yeah, I ended up playing. You wanted to talk about a song.
Yeah, let's check out what song you brought for us.
So, yeah, well, this is a funny one. I mean, I would play all kinds of different stuff, but the one thing I would always start with was this song that's on this soundtrack by the movie Performance.
Okay.
Which is, it's a movie with Mick Jagger and Anita Pallenberg. And the soundtrack is really awesome. And it has, Mick Jagger does some songs on there, but then also Ry Cooder.
Okay.
Does a lot of the soundtrack, and he's I don't know how much soundtrack stuff he's done, probably a little bit other than this, but he also played guitar and like Captain Beefheart and I think I know he played on some Stone stuff too, and was kind of up for maybe being in the band once Brian Jones was out. Like I know they used him on some records, but anyway, this song is pretty funny. It's called Get Away. And it kind of starts out with this like tabla and almost kind of weird, like it's not sitar, but it kind of just sounds real like Indian, Middle Eastern or whatever.
Okay.
And then into this blues thing. So anyway, it's instrumental. And I always start the set with that.
Sweet. You want to check it out?
Sure.
Let's check it out. That's sick. Yeah. When did you hear that for the first time?
God, I don't remember. It's been a while. I don't even know how I found out about the movie. Probably, I don't know.
Somewhere along the way.
I don't know. Somewhere along the line, I read about it and checked it out and then really liked the soundtrack.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool little vibe starter. Sets you up for whatever you want to get
into. I'd play
into.
That and then I'd go into like, I don't know, like I had all kinds of funny stuff on here.
Mostly weird DJ stuff.
Well, just not normal like playing songs or whatever. Like I would do like, Convoy by... You know,
the country McCall. Song. I love that song.
I'm trying to think what some of the other ones that were on there. I'd always play, I'd play Peanut Butter Jelly Time a lot and people like that. And then Jeff from Red Cross was like, oh, you have to play Honky Tonk Badonkadonk. And I didn't know it. And I pulled it up. I'm like, oh, that's perfect.
That's so hilarious.
And people, it's funny because, we just did a show like about a month and a half ago, and I played that. And after the show, the people that worked at the club were like, "You played Honky Tonk Badonkadonk. Why did you play that?" I'm like, "Cause it's funny." And they're like, "We love that song."
You're disrespecting honky tonk culture with that jam.
It's just funny.
That's hilarious. You know? That's cool though. I'm glad you were able to. Find a list like that and find put together those songs when you were asked.
I kind of I'd play to the crowd.
Yeah, know? For sure.
And sometimes depending on where we were, I'd play like local bands or whatever.
Oh, cool.
A little bit, you know.
That's rad. Take some Fever Dog with you up there.
What's that?
Take some Fever Dog on that list.
If I was playing here, then absolutely. Absolutely, cool. Fever Dog would be on there.
That's rad. I wanted to ask you too about, you know, just this I know the upcoming all of those releases you were talking about were kind of post your operation and stuff. Like, do you feel caught up now? Are you still kind of like getting back to all the stuff you had written after that period or during that period where you're recovering and stuff?
I guess I feel caught up.
Cool.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
sweet.
I don't know. There's so much stuff happening now.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's more. I've been really busy, you know.
Yeah.
I've been this whole last year, I've been offering... Well, just trying to get studio work.
Okay, cool.
You know, I was trying to figure out a way. Since I had that time off, I was like, I need to make money. And so I just kind of like put it out there that I was available for studio work. And if anybody had tracks that they wanted drums for, that I would do it. So I've
done
a lot
that?
Of that.
You still doing that?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yep. I'm always for hire.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You have a studio out here that you have
in LA.
Place? Oh, in LA. Yeah. Cool. That's rad.
So I end up going there and doing stuff.
Everybody needs a drummer all the time.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've done, I don't know how much, like a ton of stuff now.
Sweet.
Like, yeah.
That's great. I mean, yeah. Freaking Dale Crover played on my record, dude.
That's right. Awesome. If you want me to play drums on one of your songs or a bunch of your songs or a whole record, then email me at DaleCroverDrums@gmail.com.
Sweet. That's awesome. Yeah. You always talk to musicians like, I'm ready to start. I just need a drummer. I need some drums on this song. That's cool.
I've done a bunch of it now. You know? And I've even done some stuff. I can't really say for who yet, but they're sort of a bigger band, I guess.
Okay.
And cool. It started as us just doing a couple songs in the studio, but it's going to be now a full-length record, and I think I'm going to be officially in their band.
Oh, wow. You have time for that?
Why not? You know? It'll be fine.
That's
and it's
rad.
It's a band people... I think a lot of people know who they are.
If you know the Melvins, you might know them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. If you know the Melvins, you would know this band.
They're on that sphere. Cool. That's rad. Yeah, I mean, do you like being busy? Is it like...
Yeah.
Or is it just kind of necessity? Like, this is how you make it as a musician.
You kind of have to hustle.
Yeah. Many pots.
I mean, I'm self-employed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't have a regular job. I don't want a regular job. So this is what I have to do.
Mm. You just have to be ready. I mean, I assume there's some things you say no to though, right? Maybe.
It depends. Like with the recording thing.
Yeah.
Some people are like, will you just record a bunch of drum stuff for me so I can write songs? I'm like, no.
You want me to write the songs?
Yeah, I mean, if you want me to write songs, that's a little bit different. Yeah. And some people have asked for that kind of stuff. I'm just like, it's something completely different, you know. But for the most part,
yeah,
you know, like I not only drums, I mean, I play guitar and bass and sing. So I've done some vocals for people and whatever.
That's right. Yeah. I think it's all about chasing opportunities, you know?
Right. I mean, like I was saying before, it's hard. You know, it's like bands aren't making money.
Yeah.
Things are a lot different now than they were, you know, a long time ago. People don't sell records like they used to. So I'm hustling as much as I can to not have to have a regular job.
I
don't want to work at a pizza place again.
Pizza doesn't miss you. You don't miss pizza.
Well, yeah.
But yeah,
I guess there's always something I can fall back on.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I feel like adjusting too just has to be kind of, and especially when you're creative, I feel like it shouldn't feel like work, at least.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like the more you do, it probably does feel like choring sometimes. But I mean, if it's rooted in all this kind of creative expression, there can.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm really happy to be able to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's always a reservoir of like. Stuff you're getting back from the work you're putting in. I feel like new feelings with this music and new ways to express yourself.
You know? Right, right.
That's great.
I mean, yeah. I don't know.
We love it. I'd love to ask too, because this is something I was thinking about the other day. Do you remember, I mean, of course vinyl was more prevalent probably when you guys were starting out, but like the first time you had your own recording on vinyl?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Our first record, Glue Porch Treatments.
Yeah.
Remember? Was the first thing. And
is that like a holy shit kind of moment for you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, actually, you know what? I'm wrong. We had a 7-inch out before that.
Oh, okay.
So that, and even before that, I guess there was like this compilation from the Northwest called Deep Six, which had Green River and Soundgarden and Malfunction and people that went on to be in bigger bands like Pearl Jam and that kind of thing on this compilation. So
that was
our first thing.
Yeah.
And I remember it being really exciting.
That's so sick. I feel like it's having something tangible of your music is always going to be like this unshakable feeling.
Right. Right.
It's like I put in all
now
this
it's
work.
Like, now there's just tons of stuff. I mean, I have no idea how many records and now even with me doing all this like extra recording, like,
yeah,
like, I have no idea.
If you try to put together the Dale discography.
I don't think I could. I'm going to be too hard.
Do you still you know, even with all the new releases you're putting out with all the bands, are you still kind of like keeping a copy for yourself? Or a,
usually, yeah, yeah. I always try to, if you can. I always want a copy of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's maybe a few things I don't have copies of, but I have almost everything.
Sick. Do you collect records otherwise or here and there?
I mean, not too much. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of have. I mean, if it's something new, I wouldn't really go and and get it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't. The way I listen to music the most is off of my phone.
Yeah, it's just so easy.
That's just how most people do it. You know? Yeah. I put on records sometimes, but I mean, I don't need to collect anymore. I have a ton. Yeah. I'll go to record stores and just kind of look around and go, I don't
need this.
Right. I mean, you know, I would maybe collect stuff to DJ with.
Okay.
I haven't done that besides what I was talking about.
Yeah.
In quite a while.
All you need is your phone and the iPad.
Right. Pretty much, you know. That works fine, but I would love to be able to do... I want to do like a happy hour DJ set someplace.
Okay.
And play like, you know, like, I don't know, French pop music or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That sounds like a something you could probably do here.
Yeah, I don't know where.
DJ hour or something.
Yeah, I mean, the question is where. Yeah. Where's the audience?
Yeah, right. You know? Who likes French pop out here in the Coachella Valley? I don't know. Maybe your comedy stylings would work good out here too.
My what? Like
your comedy stylings of your...
I don't know about that. I was talking with my friend the other day about stand-up comedy and how it's not very good. Like, there's just not, and we're both in agreement. Like, yeah, it's not very funny.
Yeah. It's hard.
I know. I mean, but just the people that are popular, it's just like, I just don't, you know, I mean, there's some people that I like.
Yeah.
You know, I went to that first gig at Acrisure with Dave Attell and Chris
Chappelle
Rock.
And Chris Rock, yeah.
And I thought, sorry, Chappelle.
Yeah.
But I do like Dave Attell. Like, there's a Dave Attell record that's pretty funny, I think. Mm. But yeah, Dave Chappelle. And that was okay.
Yeah.
You know, but for the most part, it's like, I don't think anybody's funny. Cheech and Chong, now they're funny.
They're funny. The classics, right?
Right.
Yeah, I was at that show too. And yeah, I mean, it was funny. But yeah, it's hard. I feel like, especially with just how, you know, social media and TikTok is with comedy and jokes. And it's like, if you're not getting a laugh in like seconds, it can be
right.
Few people have the patience to sit through the punchline. And
exactly.
I sound like a freaking boomer talking right now, but it's kind of true.
No, they don't have the attention span.
Damn know? Kids and their iPhones and jokes.
Mean, right. It's like, well, I mean, I find myself too, just like scrolling through stuff. If I'm looking at social media, it's like, yeah.
It's not grabbing you. I mean, I mean, I'm a literature major, so all the English teachers I've had in my life tell me the same thing. Like, you're not hooking the reader in those first few sentences. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You need to work on your intros and your hooks,
right?
To get people,
right?
Do you view music the same way, or you? I feel like there's artistic ways to have some longer songs and stuff, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess we don't worry about that stuff too much anymore.
Yeah,
you know, but things like. With social media, if like we post something, we've discovered that the dumber it is, the more people will like it. So if you come up with something really stupid, people will like it. Like we did that Beach Boys cover of I Get Around and changed it to I Fuck Around. And that one got a whole bunch of like TikTok, like attached to clips. You know, which is more than probably any other song that we've done.
You guys made it viral fame
because it's stupid. People like stupid. People like dumb. So, you know, that's my advice. The dumber you can be, the more successful you are.
That's why I'm glad. That's why I'm glad every interview or speech I've read from Buzz is always no bullshit. Kind of like hilarious stories and like, you know. Straight and to the point with stuff. It's like, this is the charm, you know? This is what's keeping people interested in hearing what you guys have to say. And then the music is obviously fucking killer as well.
Yeah, thank you.
And is it, you know, we're talking about too, about hooks and stuff, like being the attention to detail you have to be with current and modern music and stuff, does that apply to like merch? Designs too. People are gonna walk by the shirt and think it's fucking ugly.
No, I mean, but that kind of thing. Well, like with t-shirts, it's like just do black t-shirts. Don't do like some funky color because people aren't gonna buy it.
Yeah.
And it's not black, people will buy stuff with skulls on it.
You know.
Our new t-shirts have like a skull on it and like one has a spider on it. And I think you know, it was like Buzz was saying, which one's going to sell better? I'm like, the spider. You know? Oh, but I'm probably wrong. It's going to be the skull.
Yeah.
But the spider looked cooler.
I have some punk rock iconography on there in your set.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but that's, you know, we're not really in the t-shirt business.
Yeah, exactly. Said.
You know, it's like, what's going to sell? That's the thing, really.
Yeah. It's another way you're able to help out in the quest for supporting yourselves musically.
Yeah. That's when people try to do some like off color, it's like
tie-dye.
People won't buy it. Or just like, you know, we're going to do yellow shirts. It's like, nobody wants a yellow shirt. There might be that one person.
Yeah. They're going to get stains on it or sweat through it by the end of the night at the show.
Do black and you'll do better.
Yeah. Black and have all the big sizes too. Even if people wear oversized and stuff too.
That's kind of changed. Like people used to want like small and tight, and I think now they want bigger.
Gigantic shirts.
Yeah.
I want a 5X. I want to swim in it. I want to drown in it.
Yeah.
That's cool. So how far ahead do you feel like you have to be in terms of like planning with tours, scheduling to kind of stay on top of things in a busy lifestyle?
Well, I think we plan a lot farther ahead than most bands do.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, we're really good at that. Like we've had this stuff planned for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have this planned about a year out, you know, maybe even longer.
Oh, wow.
So that, and then, you know, even with the releases, we'll like, you know, have stuff ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, like right now there's nothing, I'm sure that we'll be recording sometime soon again and have stuff ready. But yeah, there's a split with Napalm Death that just came out. Mm-hmm. And then there's a Melvin's 1983 thing that just came out.
Yeah, I got to hear that too. That's dope.
Yeah.
You didn't play on that one.
I didn't play on that one. No, I was busy with Red Cross. So, but I'm trying to think. Yeah, like I said, I'm doing this solo acoustic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, there's this other thing that I'm doing will come out sometime next year.
Cool.
So I can't.
Can't spill.
It hasn't been announced yet, so I won't say. But but people will know the band, and I think people will be excited. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people will be appreciative for anything you have time for, anything you're deciding to devote your creative time to.
Cool. Yeah.
Because I feel like, when you get that busy and you sit down to write stuff, does it feel like not the energy, but like kind of the output is changing in a way? I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, what do you mean exactly?
Just kind of like when, like being super busy, it's like, oh, I don't have as much time to dedicate to this kind of song or this album as I would like.
No, I don't feel like that, but I just feel like we've done it so long now that it's like, I mean, it's easier.
Yeah. Don't have to think too much about what's
right.
Where.
I mean, even like compared to like when we first started, you know, we didn't have the money or the time or just to be able to afford to record.
True.
You know, we had like our first two records were done. Recorded it and mixed in 4 days.
Oh,
but those were different times. I mean, tape was expensive. Mm-hmm. Studio time was expensive. And we just really had to be prepared before we went to the studio.
Yeah.
Now it's like, it's cheaper. It's easier. You don't have to think about the constrictions that you had before with like, oh, we've only got this many tracks to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't want to worry about any of that stuff at all. I just want to worry about the song and performance. And it's just, I don't know. And it's not any different than it was before. It's just easier.
Yeah.
You know, people like will look at like digital and they'll be like, well, it's kind of cheating. It's like, no, that's exactly how people recorded before. You know, bands like the Beatles had the opportunity to be able to like sit in the studio and record for days on end and perfect something. And we're unlimited in like, you know, as how much time and money and even like tape they could use, you know? So, I mean, they definitely had to think about like things were more complicated as far as like loading a bunch of tracks onto one song because they had to bounce stuff down and think about it more, where now you can just, it's unlimited, you know?
Yeah. What was your Beatles cover band name?
Beatles cover band name?
We talked about when we did the interview with the paper. I think you brought up a Beatles song. You're like, one of the lyrics would be your
Oh, was it Gurus and Drag?
Gurus and Drag.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's going to be my cover band name or something.
Right.
It's hilarious. Cool, man. Well, Dale, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being on the podcast. Right I appreciate on. It. And I hope people can see you around the desert more often. And if not, just come and see you on tour.
Yeah.
Any of them.
Yeah.
Any of the tours, any of the music projects. Just support another fellow desert rat doing some great things.
Yeah, thank you.
In the music sphere.
Right on. Thanks for having me, man.
Sweet. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We'll catch you in the next one.